Hello, my lovely little people. all of you, hello, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for taking... I hope that you are listening to my podcast while doing something cozy. That is my only wish for you. I hope that you are listening to this while walking a nice long walk somewhere pretty, or while watching the ocean, or sitting in a coffee shop looking at random people walking by, or that you're out on a run, or in the gym, or while sitting on the bus on your way somewhere. I hope that you are having a beautiful day. Anyway, today I am going to cover another request, topic request. And I got this kind of question in a lot of different ways of saying it. But I am going with the wording that the lovely Sabrina sent to me. My beautiful soul sis, Sabrina, I feel like if we met, we would have the most amazing conversations somewhere pretty, looking at the water. The statement, or the topic request, was feeling disposable in relationships, both romantic and friendships. I can relate to this so much. And just as a little preface before I get into this, just a couple of weeks ago, or months ago maybe, I started getting into attachment styles. This is a therapy theory, or whatever you call it. It's a specific way of dividing people according to how you respond to situations in a relationship, specifically how you respond to tough situations in a relationship. And I do think that this specific request has, or this topic has to do with, or let me say it like this. I think that people who are have an anxious attachment style usually feel disposable in relationships, both romantic and friendships. So if you do relate to this, I do recommend you to read up on attachment styles. And I can recommend a book called Attached. I cannot remember the author, but if you search for Attached book, I think it's going to come up, because it's a quite a popular book. And I read it just a while ago, and it really did open my eyes. And it explained why I feel so abandoned in a lot of relationships, while I have understood that other people do not feel that way. And it also did explain the behavior of my ex-boyfriends really well. Turns out I've been dating people who are avoidant, and I am anxious. And if you do get into this kind of theory, you're going to understand that that's like the worst combination. But anyway, that was a sidetrack. To get back to the statement, feeling disposable in relationships, both romantic and friendships. What I absolutely first did was Googling disposable. The definition is intended to be thrown away after use. And that says it all, doesn't it? Getting into a friendship or a relationship, being around people and feeling like once people have gotten what they could get out of you, they move on and they do not care anymore what happens to you. I have definitely felt disposable in my relationships and in my friendships. And I still do sometimes, but I have also learned to stand up for myself a bit more. Because that's what I do believe that this is about. It's about learning to respect yourself, learning to have your own back, learning to give yourself the same advice as you would give to a sister or a brother or a best friend. So let's go back to what it means to feel disposable. For me, it means feeling like people are okay with having you around, but they wouldn't really care if you stopped showing up. For me, it means being like a filler. You fill up their time. They know you always listen. You will never say no. You become the person people vent to. The best example I have from my own personal life is an ex-boyfriend. First, he broke up with me, but then he kept calling me every single day for 2 years. He called me to tell me about his life and his problems and his successes without asking one single question back to me about my life. And, you know, once he got the support he needed from me, who is always there to listen, he hung up. And he knew that I would always be there and he didn't have to put in any effort to keep me in his life. So why did I keep answering when he called me? I, again, believe that people who tend to feel disposable or are anxious, have an anxious attachment style, we are terrified of being left behind, of being abandoned, of... Well, personally for me, it's not so much about ending up alone. It's more that I care so incredibly deeply about the people I come in contact with. And when I feel like they are throwing me away, they no longer care about what happens to me, I just do not know how to deal with it. So that's when I believe you lose the respect for yourself. You forget that there are people out there who are going to value you as much as you value them. Another example from my own life. Most of you do know about my struggles with loneliness. I have talked about that quite a lot on this podcast and definitely written about it in my books. And I think a lot of us who feel disposable are people who have known loneliness in some way. This, having felt this incredibly vast loneliness that just takes up everything in your life, it resulted in me taking every opportunity I got to get to be around people. I never said no. I always said yes. And I did everything to get to be around someone, to just kind of feel like I had friends. And because having close friends has been so rare to me, I fell into this trap of wanting to be easy for people. I wanted to be no bother. I wanted to be the easiest person they could imagine being around so that they would, so that they wouldn't stop inviting me. I did not want to become a burden for anybody. I never asked for help. I never asked for anything back. I just was easy. I adjusted my ways and always made sure that they didn't have to put in any effort ever. I adjusted to their schedule, went to their places or their cities. I did what they enjoyed doing, listened to their problems, and didn't ask for anything in return ever. And I was genuinely just happy getting to be around people. But this is such a problem because, first of all, this person that I just described, who definitely was me, but I'm sure a lot of us, this person has no respect for herself. She doesn't see that she has value in this world and for other people. She doesn't believe that she's lovable. She doesn't believe that she's valuable. She doesn't believe that she adds anything to the conversation. She does not believe that she's worthy of anybody's effort. And if you don't believe that, and you start showing up like this person who's desperately trying to just be around people, they simply can't see the value of you because you don't see it in yourself, so you can't show them. You can't show your value because you don't believe you have any. You do not respect yourself, so neither will they. You know, you teach people how to treat you. And I definitely know this to be true. You teach people how to treat you. You do that by treating yourself in the way that you want them to treat you, and you let them know when you deserve better. So, you know, if someone is rude to you and you just suck it up, you don't say anything back, maybe you even apologize for them being rude to you, which I have done. I'm sure we all have done that at some point. What you do to their brain, this is just psychology, right? You are unconsciously telling them, you can definitely speak like that to me because I am the kind of person that you can speak like that to. If you, though, immediately when someone is rude to you says, listen, you cannot talk to me like that because there are people in the world who actually will be nice to me. So if you're not going to be nice to me, I'm going to go find those people. You are instead teaching him that you are a person worthy of kindness and respect, and you cannot talk to me like that. It's just you have to teach people how they can treat you. And it starts by, this is another, I'm going to come with a lot of examples, I'm realizing, in this episode, because they're just popping up in my head. I used to always talk down on myself. I used to make fun of myself, like, not in this in a fun way. You know, I love people who can joke about their own successes or lives or whatever, but I literally talked down on myself in a serious way. Like, I was straight up saying, yeah, but I'm not so good at this, or I'm not good at that. Yeah, but I'm not so fun in that way, or I'm not so this or that, or whatever it might have been. And, you know, I don't know why I did that. Maybe I wanted people to sort of argue with me on that and say, yes, you are, you know, but that's not what's happening. When you say that to someone, they are instead thinking, oh, okay, I guess she's not. And that's that. You have to believe that you can add something to the world, because if you pull this to the other end of the spectrum, and this is also something that I've been writing about in my books, specifically, I have this quite long piece in Everything Changed When I Forgave Myself, where I'm talking about who I want to grow up and become. And I'm saying something like this. I don't have it in front of me, but something like this. I want to be so sure about my own path in life that no one will ever doubt what I'm here to do or be. And I have met those people who walk into a room and they are so sure about their purpose on this planet and their worth and their talents and their skills. And it's not in like a diva or bragging way. It's just they know why they are here. And when you talk to them, you don't question it. You can't question it. Of course they're here for that. They're going to achieve that. Like, they tell you about their plans in the way of, like, it's not a dream. They say it in this way of, this is what I am going to accomplish. What about you? Like, they're so sure about it that you leave that conversation being sure about it too. Like, you know that they're going to accomplish that. You hear it in their voice. You see it. If we go back to the other person who would come up and say, like, I'm not so good at, like, anything, and I don't think I even deserve to be here, but, you know, maybe one day I could do this, but I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to do that. You know, then I'm pretty sure we would all leave that conversation thinking of that person of, like, I don't know if that person is going to accomplish anything, because if they are not sure about it, neither am I. It's the same with your worth. Okay, I have one last example. I was seeing a person who was incredibly busy with work and commitments. And he kept giving me 2 or 3 hour time slots where he could see me. My schedule is a lot more flexible. So in the beginning, when I first met him, I was really happy going out of my ways to make it work for him. So I went to his place, I adjusted to his schedule. But after a while, I saw my own pattern and I stopped myself. So we were once going to meet up for a walk and he said, I'm pretty busy this week, but I could make some time between 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on Thursday. Like, he literally gave me a time slot out of his busy schedule. And, you know, old me would have said, that's awesome. Thank you so much for making time for me. I'm really grateful for that. And, you know, if this would have been a one-time happening, it's no big deal. Then I'm obviously grateful that someone takes the time. But this was not a first time. And I have learned, I am learning to respect myself. And I want people around me who value me and respect me and feel honored and excited that I take my time to see them. Hear that? Like, that's a difference. I want people around me who feel honored and excited that I take my time to see them. So I said to this person, I would love to see you, but I am not really a 2 hour slot kind of person, and I do not enjoy being scheduled in like this. So maybe you can get back to me when you have some more time to get to know me properly. And this wasn't so much about him being busy. I love people who are busy. I love people who are driven and go for their dreams. But this was about someone valuing me as much as I value them. And me saying this to him changed the entire course of our friendship. He immediately called me up and apologized. And he did put in the effort to come see me. And he never again treated me like a task on his schedule, because that's what I started to feel like. It was such an important turning point because, again, if I would have said, sure, that's fine, no problem, I would have taught him that I am someone he doesn't have to put in any effort with. And again, I do want people to put in the same effort for me as I always put in for them. And I do not believe that he even had thought of this. Most of the time, I do not believe that people are consciously acting disrespectful to you. It's not like they make the decision that I'm gonna not put in an effort for this person. But people pick up cues from you. You know, you set the standard for how you're going to be treated. And the brain is a powerful thing, you guys. I'm sure that his brain picked up from my cues that I'm so used to always never wanting to be a burden. So he felt right away that I would have no problem going wherever he needed me to go. And just that one time of me saying, I am worth more than this, it made him aware of it. I'm sure he wasn't even aware of it. So again, it's about us being aware of how we let people treat us and making other people aware of it so that we can change that. So I do think that people who tend to feel or become disposable are people who do not respect themselves enough. And again, I say that being one of those people. But the good news is we can change that any day. We just have to start letting people know that if we do not feel appreciated or valued, we will find other friends who will make us feel appreciated and valued. If we're in a relationship where we feel replaceable, we will make the person understand that if we don't start to feel loved and valued, we will leave. And we have to believe that there are people out there who will be honored to get to be with us. And they will do anything to get to spend their time next to us. And those are the people we want around us. And you know what? In my experience, the people that right now make us feel disposable and replaceable, they will step up and start value you if you simply show them that you won't stay if they don't. There is another side of the story, and this is such an interesting topic and something I was talking about with my friend the other day. There are people, especially in this swiping culture, who use shallow, disconnected relationships as a way to not be lonely and get the company they need, but without getting too close and tangled up, and through that, they protect themselves from having to deal with too many intense emotions. I said to my friend the other day that I think this dating app culture is creating a culture of young people who have no idea how to build really deep, trusting, connected relationships with one single person, because they don't have to anymore. Like, getting this incredibly deep connection, getting like really intertwined with another person, it's scary. That's when you can get really, really hurt if it doesn't work out. And young people today can simply swipe right and see this person until he feels like it's starting to get too time-consuming or emotionally consuming or scary. So he just ghosts or unmatch or just disappears, and then he'll swipe right again and start all over. And it's not a big deal for those people. They use it as something to fill their time with. And the truth is, if you have met someone like this and felt like they just used you, it's not because of you. It's not anything they do towards you. You have nothing to do with this behavior. People do this because it keeps them safe. They're living their lives checked out. They won't ever let you get too close, and they will never get too close to you. By not investing too much into you, they protect themselves from ever being too hurt or too affected, and they can quickly unfollow or swipe right on the next one. They are actively choosing to not get too deep into anything. So again, speaking from my own experience, I know my first reaction after having met one of those people was, I will just learn how to do the same. I have always been someone who very quickly starts caring about the people I meet on a very deep level. I care about people a lot. I will worry about them. I want to make sure they're okay. I want to know if I can help them. And so I started thinking, I will just learn how to not care so much about people. I will learn to only care about myself. Because apparently, that's how the world is operating nowadays. But you know what? Fuck that, because that's not the world we want to live in. That's not the world I want to live in. We have to be what we want to find. That's really it, always. We have to show by example what we want around. And we have to be brave enough to walk away from anything we do not want around us. And we have to not sink so low that we become it ourselves. It's so hard to remember when you feel lonely and abandoned, but it is better to befriend yourself on your own than to keep chasing people who do not care. It's such a harsh truth that some people do not care about us, but it's the truth. So, teach people how to treat you by treating yourself like the most valuable person you have in your life, because you are. You must value yourself more than you value others. It does not make you selfish. It does not make you egocentric. It makes you powerful, because you will in return treat people the same way. And you will attract people who know your worth, and you will know their worth. That's the world I want to live in. I would love to get your feedback, to know your stories. If you have experienced this, if you can relate, how you dealt with it, if you have learned anything from it, and please send me your lessons, your wisdom, your stories, and I will start sharing it a little bit on my social media so we can help each other, because I'm sure you have a lot of great suggestions and ideas, and yeah, please write to me. Thank you for listening. Love you. Bye.